And here we are again with Embracing Your Mortality, and I'm Sue Brain. And over the winter, I've been talking to some amazing people, including a couple turning John Lennon's Gypsy Caravan into a story space for children.
It was struck by a tree and it was neglected, and then it broke. But his blueprint didn't break. His blueprint's still there.
The creators of The Silent Why, a truly wonderful podcast full of hope.
Everyone will lose something. So everyone needs to, whether they've lost or not, they need to think, well, this will help me prepare for it if I've not felt it already.
And an author whose book about her mother's Alzheimer's is being turned into an audio play starring Juliet Stevenson.
When I was writing, there probably wasn't a day when I didn't shed some tears. It was a deep, deep healing process for me.
This week, I am talking to Frederik Udell, Danish researcher and speaker, about the existence of UFOs and how their advanced technology could help us to deal with many problems here on Earth. He's also a researcher into near-death experiences and how they teach us about consciousness.
I think one of the most compelling, well, it's not a piece of evidence, but a line of evidence is the seeming connection between UFOs and nuclear weapons. It's interesting and important on so many different levels, and it's not really talked about so much. There's an American researcher named Robert Hastings. I invited him to Copenhagen, and he gave a lecture here in Copenhagen in 2013, and he has been interviewing a lot of American veterans about their experiences at nuclear weapon sites in the United States. And also, I think he's also talked to veterans from all around the world, actually. But mostly, I suppose, it's from the United States. And some of these people are kind of people who have worked, some have called them kind of missileers. I mean, they've been working in these underground silos, nuclear weapon sites in the United States during the Cold War. And they're coming forward after the Cold War ended. They began stepping forward and talking about these incidents where UFOs had kind of buzzed these bases and these missiles. And while they were there, most of the time, the nuclear weapons malfunctioned unexplainably. And some of these missiles, I mean, they're separated by miles and miles. And a lot of these veterans have come forward and talked to Robert Hastings. His book is, I have it right here, it's called UFOs and Nukes, Extraordinary Encounters at Nuclear Weapon Sites. Mm. And that really sparked my interest, I think.
From what I understand, what happened, there was tension. And I understand that the UFOs appeared and buzzed the sites and actually stopped anybody doing anything weird with a button. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's they malfunctioned. I mean, there would be people sitting with the keys, and they have to turn the keys in those missile silos all at once in order for the weapons to launch. And these people are typically called up by their topside guards on the ground, maybe 30 meters above or 10 meters above, I don't know. These guards are just terrified and just saying that there's something hovering above the missile, and sometimes kind of sending a beam of light to the ground. And at that time, typically the missiles will malfunction. They will kind of go into a non-launch mode. So there's, of course, a lot of speculation about what is going on here. Who is piloting these crafts? We have no control of them. It's not a coincidence that the missiles are malfunctioning at that moment. Even in some instances, I think there's one case from the Soviet Union. It's because these things have also happened elsewhere, not just in the United States. A few cases where the missiles actually go into a launch mode and they're just about to get launched. I mean, which is very, very serious. I mean, which certainly grabs the attention of these people here. This is episodes that haunt these veterans for the rest of their lives. Mm. And they have not, many of them have not talked about this for decades.
Do you feel then that there is life beyond the planet that is caring for us or trying to communicate with us, does not want us to destroy ourselves? I mean, what do you feel is going on?
Well, that's one interpretation. I mean, that's speculation in my view. It could be an explanation. I think I tend to endorse that speculation that perhaps there are some entities from outer space or from another dimension or from somewhere. It is extremely intelligent to control these maneuvers. And it's my speculation that they're sending a signal to humanity, don't play with nuclear weapons. I mean, maybe we're not just hurting ourselves. Maybe we're also on some other spiritual level or interdimensional level hurting somebody else in some other dimension. This is just pure speculation. I mean,
sure.
But there are other interpretations of this. Maybe this is coming clandestine American space technology. Maybe there is a breakaway civilization. It's not really a speculation that I endorse, but some people tend to say, okay, this is not aliens. This is an advanced military exercise. It's important to emphasize we don't have that's just a lot of questions. I don't have the answer to this enigma, but what I think is overwhelmingly convincing is that there is some kind of an extremely advanced technology present in our airspace and in our seas that has been going on for decades. I mean, I think maybe even you could say thousands of years, because these things have also, of course, not the nuclear weapons, but these things in the skies have been reported way back in time.
Yeah, I'm right back to the Mayans, isn't it?
This disconnect between what is these extraordinary and very extremely well-documented cases of UFOs during the last maybe 60 or 70 years and the mainstream consensus that life is out there. Everybody's agreeing upon it. Well, the scientists and also the alternative people, well, there's certainly life outside of the planet Earth. It's just on another exoplanet somewhere light years away. But kind of the disconnect between that there's this extremely potent and unexplained phenomena going on this planet, and then there's nothing in this about this in the news. Well, there is something about it in the news every once in a while, but not on a continuous basis, not like every single day like we have with COVID, for example. This goes on in the media all the time.
Yeah, probably this contact, inverted commas, happens really frequently, but we're not told about it.
Well, we are told about it, actually, every once in a while. I mean, the authorities, especially the authorities in South America, they're quite open about these phenomena. They just say, it's there and we don't know what it is. I mean, and that should just raise a lot of questions in the media, in my opinion. What is going on? I mean, we have this extremely advanced technology displaying its capabilities, flying around our fastest jets with impunity, and nobody's really talking on it on a constant basis. I mean, this technology could potentially solve our energy problems. It must run on some kind of extremely advanced energy source, and there are some physical principles involved here, which we are maybe only just sticking our noses into.
Stephen Greer talks a lot about UFOs and just about how many there are actually have been either captured or, I don't know, did you shoot down a UFO? I don't, or they've crashed. And there seems to be a lot of evidence of that too, although it's highly secret. But he does seem to be doing a lot of work in that area to make more people aware of that. I just wondered what your take was on all of that.
I don't really typically go in that direction. I mean, it's not really necessary. I mean, I've been very much engaged in the kind of the politicization of the it was a difficult word to say of the UFO subject, and just the fact that this technology is here, it should be enough. I mean, who knows if there are crash crafts and alien abductions and all these kind of more exotic themes. I mean, I know I've been reading about these things as well. And I mean, I will certainly not rule them out, but I don't think there's a need to go into these more exotic topics that are maybe more difficult for a lot of people to accept.
When you talk about politicized, that's your work with UFOs. Yes. What does this exactly mean?
Well, it means that you're looking at the phenomena and saying, okay, this technology, why is it not being used to ameliorate some of our pressing problems on the planet? So we're dealing with climate change, for example, and trying to find new solutions to we're going in wind and solar and fusion and all these technologies. We have electric cars coming out in years. There's a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to take care of this planet. But if there is an energy source that seems mm-hmm. to be, there must be some kind of energy source propelling these these vehicles or these craft. Why? What is that? Why is that not being used? I mean, I'm not saying that if it belongs to extraterrestrials, if that is the explanation, why are they not sharing that technology with us? Because it's too dangerous. We're not kind of grown
advanced
up
enough, maybe, and not to understand
advanced
it.
Enough as a civilization to master that technology. I mean, there are a lot of questions. I mean, and when you politicize this topic, I mean, it's very easy just to make some connections to some of the problems that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis here, and also the democratic problem. Why we're not talking more about this? This should be on the top five list. I mean, maybe there's only a few other topics in this world that are more important than this. I think that maybe is the life after death. If there are extraterrestrials coming to this. To this planet visiting us. Is this just a Pandora's
huge,
box? It's huge.
Huge. I mean, the podcast is called Embracing Your Mortality. And why is engaging with UFOs or life beyond the planet, how could that help us embrace our mortality more?
First of all, there could be a physical connection. I mean, there could be a kind of a dimensional aspect to this. If, let's say, and this is just speculation, I guess, let's say that extraterrestrials have solved the enigma or solved the code of traveling from a distant solar system to our solar system, to our planetary system. How is that done? I mean, there must be a way of circumventing the huge distances of space. I mean, taking a shortcut to here. And maybe there is some kind of dimensional travel needed to doing that, so you can do that shortcut. Maybe there is a completely different understanding of the physical universe and other realities. And perhaps these other realities are also connected with all these phenomena that we have about the near-death experiences and end-of-life experiences. Maybe this plays a part into it, the way that they can cover these huge distances. They have to kind of make a shortcut through another dimension.
So we are very cut off. You know, we just think it's us and there's nothing else. This sort of sense of just we're the most important thing, you know, in the universe because, you know, and here we are on our tiny little planet destroying it, by the way. And I'm just really curious about that and sort of a low consciousness that we live with. We have to upgrade our understanding of our place in the universe for us to survive here, because otherwise we're just going to completely not just destroy ourselves, but we're going to destroy this beautiful planet. And it's obviously terribly important if we're being visited by other dimensions that are saying, absolutely, please don't destroy yourselves.
Yes. If we could grow up as a civilization, maybe if there are these people visiting us, maybe they would talk to us. I mean, communicate with us on a broad basis, and maybe explain a few things to us about, for example, just telling us do we survive death? For example, we're not the center of the universe. I mean, the Earth is not is the center of the solar system anymore. That's at least established. But it's also established that we are not the center of the universe. But on this planet, humanity is really the center of everything, right? We regard ourselves as the most important species of this planet, and we're just starting to see that the animals actually they also have feelings and a consciousness.
Sentient beings,
they're sentient beings. They feel pain. Lots of people are turning vegetarian, eating less meat. All these things are going on.
I know you're really interested in near-death experiences and end-of-life experiences. And I wonder, and I know you've done a lot of research into this, and I just wondered how all of this ties into your fascination for UFOs and the possibility that there is life beyond the planet.
It's two subjects that I've been interested in because there's a lot of good documentation surrounding them. What I've been really fascinated with also with the near-death experiences, end-of-life experiences, there's a lot of research, academic research going on in these fields. Not so much in the UFO area, There is some, but there's not so much peer-reviewed research in the UFO field as there is in the near-death experiences and end-of-life experiences. And that also dawned upon me a couple of years ago, or maybe in 2018. Oh my gosh, there's so much peer-reviewed articles out there, not proving that there is life after death, but certainly making it plausible, I would say, a good explanation for some of these phenomena. I mean, there's a lot of disagreement in academic circles about end-of-life experiences and near-death experiences.
I've never had a near-death experience, but I've had a profound mystical experience where it took me to a different realm, and I saw that the glue of the universe was love, spelt with a capital L, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, love
yes.
that is like, whoa!
Beyond.
And that was amazing. And I have had a psychedelic experience where I was taken to another dimension to meet the light. So those two, a mystical experience and a psychedelic experience, actually really married up for me that there is something, such an intelligence out there that is, and we are kind of like an expression, a very, very watered down expression of that intelligence. And I just wondered what your take on your understanding of what you've read. And I don't know if you've had an experience yourself.
The thing that you're explaining now is just kind of, say, kind of an epiphany or something. It's a mystical experiences that is it's not so uncommon. A lot of people have these, just don't talk that much about them. And it really is what you will find if you go to Eastern mysticism and Western mysticism. You find these transcendental experiences where you kind of become one with the light and one with love. I mean, you experience the identity that you really have. You are not just Sue or Frederick, or you are actually, you're just, the identity that you really have is love. I mean, and we're just all kind of, we all people are expressions, or you could say embodiments of that love. And we just don't realize it. I mean, it comes to people, you could say, in glimpses. I mean, maybe once in a lifetime, you just have a fleeting sense of this. But if you go to people who resuscitated from near-death experiences, I mean, they report this very, very frequently, that they go into this light and they kind of become one with that light. They can communicate with it, but they're also part of it. This is a very, very common theme of near-death experiences.
The other thing is and certainly this happened with Dr. Eben Alexander,
yes,
who
yes,
was a absolutely. Really hardwired, cynical scientist.
Yes.
And when his patients used to say, I've had this experience, and he used to say, oh, give them more drugs, shut them up. And then he almost died and had this incredible experience, and it came back a changed man. I mean, and now he goes around the world just helping people to say, look, you know, death is not this end, it's something else. You know, we're talking about having to shift our understanding in such a immense way that this is not the end, and we're just passing through this life. If we are to shift that, I mean, wow, that would be immense. On top of that, you know, UFOs are appearing. I mean, that is like, whoa, mind blown.
Yeah, there are a lot of different weird things in life.
Yes. How would you imagine that, you know, we little mere mortals who think we're so important can deal with such an enormous shift of perception?
Yeah, I think people deal with it in an individual basis and step by step. I mean, every person has to discover these things on their own. I mean, and I think that's perhaps also the reason why UFOs are not showing up on the White House lawn and the Trafalgar Square in London. I mean, it's maybe the explanation that it would not serve a good purpose. Most people, I think, will have to realize these things themselves and find the truth about these things themselves. I think that's maybe the most wise thing there are extraterrestrials, that people discover these things. And you cannot force these worldviews on people, I mean.
And the trouble is that a lot of the publicity in the films about extraterrestrials, they're all horrible, nasty people, and they're here to destroy the planet. But in
not all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah,
a lot of the films are about that. And I think Steven Spielberg got it beautifully right in that wonderful film, Encounters of the Third Kind. And they had taken people, but actually they were curious. They weren't cruel or nasty. They're just curious.
My theory is, and I don't know if this is true, this is, again, I have to emphasize, it's high speculation. I mean, I think they're probably here. It seems like there's somebody here that's not us. And I think they might be watching us and waiting until we grow up. But they maybe regard us, this planet, as a school where we'll have to learn a lot of things. And maybe in a couple of hundred years, we'll be mature enough to engage in a conversation with them. And they maybe they're just here to make certain that this school is not blown up with nuclear weapons or a comet or something else. I just watched the Don't Look
just
Up.
Just watch it last night.
So I'm just filled up with that horror story of the entire Earth just being pulverized. So it's actually a very comforting thought, you could say, that there might be some extraterrestrials actually here.
Yeah, there is a theory that there are human beings who have walked into bodies and are extraterrestrials and wandering about. I mean, they're great fun, these conspiracies. Is there a modicum of truth around that? I don't know. I know I've talked to a lot of people who call themselves star people, and they absolutely believe that they come from a different solar sphere, and they've come here to have an experience of understanding what human life is about as a human. Yes. And then they don't feel at home here. They don't feel they belong here. It's very difficult for them to be here, but they know when they transit out of this human body, they will go home. And I just wondered if you'd come across people like that.
I've been in this field for more than 10 years, and they confide in me and they tell me all these stories, and I just try to listen. I can't judge them, but a lot of people, so-called starseeds, who have come and to talk to me about this. I don't know if it's true. I mean, a lot of people don't feel comfortable on this planet. You know, I don't think other star system to feel uncomfortable on planet Earth and trying to find your identity and your way in life. But I cannot say that it's true or it's false. I mean, I just try to keep an open mind about these things. Maybe we should just regard the entire human race as aliens. We are aliens. I mean, we are space beings. We live in space. I think we tend to forget that. Yeah, we're also aliens.
Brian Cox, he actually, in his beautiful series, which was about discovering the universe, he says that we come from stardust. We are made up of stardust.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Therefore, we are part of the universe. But why have we forgotten all of this? Because our ancestors hadn't forgotten.
Maybe there is a learning experience here. Maybe because humanity has also lived with a lot of problems dealing with nature, right? We now have the material comforts, or a lot of people on the planet have that. We have to go through, as a civilization, have to go through this phase of extreme materialism and to have all these needs covered. And maybe we need to learn that we don't get more satisfied by getting the new iPhone or all these material, because once people, they have these things, I think there is kind of this existential vacuum for a lot of people. They say, okay, we need something more. We need some kind of meaning in life. We need some kind of spiritual food in order to be satisfied. And maybe this is the learning experience for us as a collective.
As a species. What it comes back to me is this sense of love, because if we're just looking for the outside to fix the whole inside, which most of us do. Until we get it and actually we realise nothing's going to fill the hole. The only thing that's going to fill the hole is if we do the work on ourselves and actually connect back to ourselves. We're always being called back to this love unconsciously. We get deeply uncomfortable and lonely and afraid when we are not connected back to that love.
It ties into the UFO subject. Maybe we have to realize this compassion and this love. We, as a species, we have to be kind to each other and we have to be loving. And it just, maybe it's not for people who are listening to this who are atheists. I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be on a spiritual level. Just be on a civilized way, that we are kind to each other. We don't make wars on each other. And when we have developed as a species these craft, or these, maybe they will land on the White House lawn then. That's the time when they will do it. I mean, I sometimes I think of, maybe if I wouldn't go down a street in a major city that is filled with crime and drugs and a lot of bad vibes. I would never venture down a road like that. I mean, it's just a consciousness that's on another level. I mean, I'm not moralizing and saying it's wrong. It's just not my vibe. I mean, I don't want to go there. These extraterrestrials, if they're here, maybe they regard, I don't want to talk to them. Maybe they just become interested in us at the point in our history where we developed nuclear weapons and also started venturing into space. I mean, combining nuclear weapons with space travel, I say, okay, maybe there was a big, big alarm bell that rang at that moment. I mean,
in the universe.
In the universe, or maybe in our neighborhood of the galaxy, maybe. I mean, if we were, and let's say that humanity has evolved 100,000 years, we become 100,000 years older, and we just roam the universe as we like, and we see that there's a civilization that is developing nuclear weapons and space technology, and they're just about to figure out how to travel between star systems. I mean, they figured out that physics, how that is done, and they also have nuclear weapons. My eyes would be fixed on that civilization.
Yeah.
They could be bringing their problems to my backyard. That's also speculation, of course, but it could be an explanation.
Humanity is in such a mess and a panic, and it doesn't matter which country you're in. It's really dodgy out there on the world stage. Do you think that you know, we're so overwhelmed with that, we couldn't possibly take on board the fact that extraterrestrials were here as well?
Well, I think if it's maybe it is good that it's done slowly. I mean, I think the newer generations will not be troubled by this because, I mean, it's been in movies for decades now, since the 40s or even the 30s. I mean, the War of the Worlds. I mean, the climatization of this to the humanity has been going on for a long time. And maybe it will take all these guesses in UFO circles. I mean, how long does it take before most of the population will just embrace the idea that we are being visited? I mean, even some people say it's going to take 50 more years, maybe 100. Maybe.
Isn't it exciting, though? And also another shift of consciousness is about us, you know, beginning to address our mortality, and life and death is not what we've been told in religious terms, certainly in West.
No. And
we're sort of shifting a little bit more into the more Eastern perspectives, which is we're just passing through this life, and then there is a possibility of coming back again. Who knows, by the way, but, you know, I'm very open to considering reincarnation. I think it's a possibility. Yeah. How do UFOs all fit into that? I mean, wow.
My guess is that it's all connected in some way, but it's the mechanisms are not very clear to me how exactly it is. I'm almost 50 now, and you're older than me, but people who are maybe in the beginning of their 20s, the new scientists who are growing up now, I mean, people, they don't change their minds when they're reached the age of 30, more or less, I think, in my opinion. You have to, the old paradigm, the old people embracing the old paradigms, they just have to die off, and then the new generation is coming in. That will make the change in the world.
That was Fredrik Udell. For more information about his UFO and his near-death experience research, please go to frederikudell.dk. My penultimate guest is Karen Alexander, crop circle researcher and amazing crop circle artist, committed to understanding the connection between crop circles and human consciousness.
You look back to some of the most important symbols of mankind, and a lot of them have a geometric origin, if you like. And again, it goes back to that idea of this hidden language in nature or in reality itself.
If you haven't already, don't forget to listen to the first 3 series of Embracing Your Mortality. Links to all my guests in all the series can be found on my website, suebrain.co.uk. In the meantime, here's to living more consciously for a better world.
The Embracing Your Mortality podcast was researched and recorded by Sue Brain and produced and edited by The Podcast Den.